live and local. This is Acadiana's sports station. 103.7 The Game.
The Houston Astros are world champions.
Streaming live on 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
It is a safe touchdown.
This is the Jordy Holtberg Show.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day.
Call us up at 337-706-0111.
I like this kind of party.
Now, here's your host, Jordy Holtberg.
And a great good afternoon. And welcome aboard on this Monday, July 26th, the year 2021. I hope everybody had a great weekend, including a Sunday fun day. But here we go. My main man, James, taking care of business in the master control suite in the First South Farm Credit Studios, which is on the campus of Delta Media, which houses KLWB, which really is 103.7 The Game. Yours truly here. You're either listening to us on 103.7 FM or 1037thegame.com, or you're watching us as we are simulcast on Stadium 32.3 and 133 on LUS. Busy show planned for you and yours. The NBA draft is Thursday. We'll get a primer on that from Basketball News' writer Derek Murray coming up at around 2:30 this afternoon. Mondays with Madeline Adams, KLFY. Get her thoughts on the just recently completed Sun Belt Conference Media Days. That's coming up at around 3:15. And then Ross Jackson, you know, the New Orleans Saints, the rookies and injured players reported to training camp yesterday. The Saints veterans will report to training camp tomorrow. And away we go. You, as a viewing public, if you have a ticket, you can go on July 30th to the first Saints open practice session from 9:30 a.m. till 12 noon. Of course, it's always weather permitted. So we'll talk Saints with Ross Jackson. And that's where we are. We're brought to you each and every day by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. There are 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. Not only can you shop safely at ShopRite, but you can shop affordably as well. Best prices around. So if you can't shop right at ShopRite, well, I don't think you can shop right at all. The inevitable became reality today. Texas and Oklahoma began the formal process of unwinding from the Big 12 conference and joining the SEC. It's the first official step in this seismic move that will, if it all comes into fruition, it will solidify the SEC as, without question, without doubt, the strongest conference in college sports, and will send other power conferences scrambling to catch up. Here's what I envision. Here's what I envision. The Big 12 is going to call the Pac-12. Hey, y'all want to merge? Can we, let's join your conference. Let's make it one big conference like that. If I'm the ACC, I am flying to Birmingham. I am setting up a meeting with Greg Sankey. Hey, Commissioner, how about if we join our leagues together and merge our leagues together, combine our television deals, and let's just have a big old conference? I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. And then here comes the Big Ten. And then sooner than later, you're going to have the whole Power Five together, one big super conference, one big entity with a commissioner, their own television contracts, and the NCAA will say, okay, well, we're going to take care of the basketball end of things and everything else. That's what I foresee happening. Formally, Oklahoma and Texas informed the Big 12 officially that they didn't plan to extend the grant of rights with the league past the 2024-25 season. So there you go. That's the first step in the process. First step. Now, the timeline of when they play in the SEC is still muddled. The next steps, though, are clear. Officially, Oklahoma and Texas have to apply to be considered by the SEC. So the SEC is expected to draft a membership agreement and have conversations, as if they already haven't, with its television partners, which will be ESPN alone come 2024, about the addition of the two. Now, if they move too quickly, don't you think it creates the optic that this deal was already done? So, look, expect the timeline before a vote to extend just a couple of days at least, at least. But look, expect the vote by the SEC, the presidents and chancellors sometime this week. And I don't think, look, every league vote in history has been announced as unanimous. Texas A&M might be the only one. So it might be 13-1. But I don't think there's going to be any snowball's chance that anybody else is going to join Texas A&M if the Aggies, in fact, do object to this move. The most powerful brands in the conference, Alabama, Florida, those are the most powerful brands, are ready to embrace the move. Can you imagine what the jackpot's going to be at the end of that rainbow? So it does not behoove the Vanderbilts and the Missouris to get in the way of Alabama and Florida in the boardroom. It just doesn't. So behind the scenes, Oklahoma and Texas are telling everybody possible that they'll play out the remaining portion of their television contract through 2024. This is all posturing. This is more legal strategy than reality. I'm telling you, I would be stunned, even though there's a huge buyout, $75 million each in exit fees. I think they're going to play this year, obviously, sit back and see if the Big 12, what they do. Do they dissolve? Do they merge with the Pac-12? That strategy could save a lot of money. But there's no way that Oklahoma and Texas are going to slog through four more years in the Big 12. There is no way whatsoever. In fact, if you look back in the history annals of the SEC, Arkansas and Missouri both joined up in 2011 and began playing in 2012. That was it. Now, I know that those schools are not Texas and they're not Oklahoma, but, you know, I think this thing's going to happen. There is a scheduled meeting teleconference among the SEC athletic directors on Wednesday. This is something that was scheduled way before in advance. It was delayed because of the SEC media days. So, look, we're inching closer and closer to the reality of things. The first formal step was executed today, and they wouldn't have done that if they didn't already have a plan in place. And if the SEC wasn't involved and ESPN wasn't involved, you know that that is the case. So not a question of if in my mind, it's just a question of when. And I think that when will be sooner than later. And I'm all for it. And I see this as the start. We had expansion 10 years ago. Now it's been quiet. I think we're about to have the second wave, and I think it's going to change the entire landscape of how things work. Well, guess what? Aaron Rodgers intends to play for the Packers after months of trade speculation, and he's going to report to training camp according to multiple sources. Just kind of making the Packers sweat a little bit. How about that? NFL Network's Ian Rapoport first reported the news today right after Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst publicly recommitted to the quarterback, indicating that Rodgers has told people close to him he intends to play for the Packers this year. There you go. How about that? Can't beat that with a stick. Gotta play. So all the speculation, Russell Wilson, he's going to be playing with Seattle. Aaron Rodgers, he's going to be playing with the Packers. That's done. But now, apparently, and good luck with this, the Houston Texans are apparently willing, after initially insisting they would not trade Deshaun Watson, they have shifted their stance on the quarterback's trade availability, and they have been willing to field offers from interested teams. Is anybody with a 20-foot pole going to touch that? Wow. At least the Texans are willing to trade Watson before the start of the season if they find the right match. The Texans' price for Watson has been a combination of 5 high draft picks and starting caliber players, 2 league executives told sources. 5 draft picks and starting caliber players. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Watson reported to training camp Sunday morning. He made it clear to those in the building that his desire to be traded had not changed. Watson not reporting to camp, well, if he hadn't, he would have been fined $50,000 per day. So we will see if the Houston Texans can find somebody willing to pay the price, and is someone willing to pay the price with all the off-the-field innuendos that are out there. Deshaun Watson doesn't want to pay those $50,000 fines because he's busy paying off all these other people to make these lawsuits go away. What a colossal mess. What a colossal mess. So stay tuned for that. And Team USA is already disgruntled with Greg Popovich. They don't like running the San Antonio Spurs offense. They got issues. And I'll deal with that in a minute. But look, I can tell you one thing right here, right now. What the USA men's basketball team is missing is the guy that's won 4 NBA championships, the best leader in the game of basketball, and someone who makes his teammates better. They need LeBron James. I'm just telling you. Kevin Durant's a great player, but he is no leader. He is not a leader in any stretch of the imagination. And LeBron James can run the point. He can get the ball to people in the best spots to make shots, and he can make shots as well. If I'm Greg Popovich, I'm sending a private plane, go get him and bring him. It's not going to happen, but go get him and that's what Team USA needs. Now they got to win two straight games against inferior opponents, and they will, to get out of the knockout round. But it's been embarrassing, to say the very, very least. Breaking news. Guess what? DraftKings is live in Louisiana with daily fantasy sports. DraftKings has finished dotting their I's, crossing their T's, meaning you can begin playing right now. Get a free entry into DraftKings daily fantasy contest with your first deposit of $5 or more and get a free shot at winning thousands of dollars. And making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night. It's simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Each player has a salary associated with drafting them. Assemble a lineup of players while staying under the salary cap. Come on now, under the salary cap. And then sit back and watch your points pile up. Compete for the gold with DraftKings this week. The athletes have made their way to Tokyo to fight for their spot on the podium. Head to the app now for your free shot at thousands in prizes. So we have a call to action. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use code 1037GAME when you sign up. Now, for a limited time, all new players can have a free shot at winning thousands of dollars with their first deposit. There's never been a better time to get in on the action with DraftKings and a free shot at winning thousands of dollars. Don't forget, enter code 1037GAME, 1037GAME. It's only on the DraftKings app. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. We'll take our first time out of the day. It's a Monday edition of the Jordy Helfrich Show. More thoughts on what's going on around the world of sports when we return on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, simulcast Stadium 32.3 and 133 LUS.
The Blonde Bomber is back. And better than ever. You're locked into the Jordy Holtberg Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and the free mobile app.
All right, welcome back, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. It's great to be with you. The first place Houston Astros start a three-game series tonight at the Seattle Mariners. You can listen to all the action right here on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana's sports station. James back in the master control suite. He's spinning the tunes, pushing all the buttons, coming up shortly in a few minutes, about 2:30-ish. Derek Murray will join us. The NBA draft begins in earnest on Thursday. What will the Pels do at number 10? We'll delve into that a little bit. Meanwhile, the Pelicans G League affiliate in Birmingham now has a name. It's called the Birmingham Squadron. Birmingham Squadron. So there you go. The renderings of the Superdome from that Caesars has put out after the naming rights deal has been formally formalized, and it looks pretty darn good to me. It looks pretty darn good. You know, Caesars is all that gold and white and black, and it looks pretty spiffy. Just go Google that, and you can see. But it looks pretty good. You see the rendering of some of the suites with the covering has Caesar Superdome above it. It looks pretty darn good. Again, the big talk in this part of the world, football is so prevalent, so important. It's really significant. But before I get into more of that, had a really good opportunity Saturday morning. A bunch of us former ex, but always still will be, LSU basketball players put on a basketball clinic called Hometown Heroes for a bunch of kids. And I'll tell you the list of names. Dale Brown was there. John Brady was there from the coaching end of things. Duran Rudy Macklin, Howard Carter, Garrett Temple, Collis Temple III, Collis Temple Jr., Marcus Thornton, Wayne Sims, Stanley Roberts, Jermaine Williams, just to name a few. And it was so much fun working with the kids. It was so much fun getting together and seeing, and it just made me proud. You know, that brotherhood still exists. None of us can play other than Garrett. Skylar Mays was there from the Atlanta Hawks. So other than Garrett and Skylar, not many of us can play anymore. But to see that brotherhood and that unity together, it was just a really, really good time. And it was fun helping some kids on a Saturday morning for about 4 hours have a good time. And it was a lot of fun. It really was. Okay, anyway, enough of that. Back to Oklahoma, Texas. This is going to start a ripple effect. And Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby, in his statement, said this, quote, "Although our 8 members are disappointed with the decisions of these two institutions, we recognize that intercollegiate athletics is experiencing rapid change and will most likely look much different in 2025 than it does currently. Like many others, we will use the next 4 years to fully assess what the landscape will look like in 2025 and beyond." Let me just tell you, Kansas State, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, TCU, Baylor, Texas Tech, and West Virginia do absolutely nothing to move the football meter. I'm sorry. They just don't. The Big 12's TV deal They distributed $345 million to its 10 members this year. That's $34.5 million apiece. The SEC announced an average payout of its members, 14 of them, $44.6 million in January. More schools and yet more money, and now they add these two more. Holy cow. Look, without Texas and Oklahoma, let's just be honest, the Big 12 is not in danger of falling apart. The Big 12 is dead. It is dead. Even if it were to stay together and add other schools, the value of the league will be severely diminished when it goes looking for its next television contract. And without the television money, there is no conference. So again, Big 12, call your buddies up there at the Pac-12 and see if they're interested in getting those garbage schools of football together. I'm sorry. And if I'm the ACC, I am on Greg Sankey's doorstep and say, look at the foothold we can have in the world of sports. Not only football-wise, but how about basketball-wise? They've got 15 members in their organization, and you could go all the way up to Boston. You've got Clemson, Duke, Georgia Tech, Florida State, North Carolina State. You go up to New York with Syracuse. You got Louisville, all the way down to South Beach in Miami, North Carolina, and maybe even Notre Dame decides, you know what, we're not going to be independent anymore. Let's just go. Pittsburgh, Virginia, Wake Forest, I can see it happening. And now if you take a look at that geographically, you've got basically the Central and Eastern time zone locked up with major television markets everywhere. If I'm the ACC, I'm calling the SEC. I'm calling them, and I am figuring out a way to merge and make one super-duper conference. So, and I see that happening sooner than later. But again, Texas and Oklahoma are just saying the right things from a legal perspective. There is no way they're going to be a lame duck university in that conference for four more years. There is no earthly way. In my mind, they'll play this year. They'll take all the slings and arrows and abuse and all the posters and all the things thrown at the buses as they head to other Big 12 schools and take all the verbal abuse they can possibly can, and then they'll be out of Dodge and they'll be in the SEC in 2022. Just my opinion. Anybody going to bet against me on that? We'll see. We'll see. There's no better time than right now to join the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse at 103.7thegame.com. It's free to join. You'll get your chance to enter to win great stuff, like a $40 gift card to Misfits Dine and Drink in Broussard. Now, you can only win that $40 gift card to Misfits Dine and Drink by joining the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse at 103.7thegame.com. So go sign up today. I don't know about you. I love the Olympics. I'm watching, it's on all day, all night. I'm watching stuff like rugby. I love swimming. I'm watching all-terrain bicycling. I'm watching archery. Boy, those guys good. Holy, I'm watching beach volleyball. I'm watching normal volleyball. I'm watching basketball. I'm watching softball. Dramatic game for the USA in that one. I'm watching gymnastics. I'm watching all kinds of stuff, and I love it. I love it. I love the swimming. Swimming is awesome. So I watched triathlon. I just absolutely love it. If you haven't given it a shot yet, try it. And NBC, I've got to give them credit. They do a spectacular job in presenting it. They just do. They really do. So good for them. And good for us that we get to enjoy all the aspects of it. I will take another time out here. When we come back, the NBA draft is Thursday. Any shuffling at the top? And what does this draft class look like overall? We'll get the lowdown from a new expert analyst who joins us next, Mr. Derek Murray, here on the Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Simulcast Stadium, 32.3, 133 LUS. Come on, horns. Horns down, baby. It's okay. It's okay. Tiger bait, horns down, you know, all that stuff. Welcome to the family. We'll be back.
Back in the day, he covered the New Orleans Hornets. Now he's talking about the Zion Williamson era of the Pelicans. On 103.7 The Game, let's get back to the Jordy Holtberg Show, where he's the real MVP.
All right, welcome back. Maybe it's the timing of everything. The NBA is preparing for its annual player draft a month later than usual at the close of what has been an exhausting season. It's the middle of the Olympic Games. I don't know. It just seems like the event's excesses have been drained. We're left with an NBA draft that not only falls short of being overhyped, it's barely being hyped at all. But we're fixing to change that, dadgummit, because the draft is important. It's critical. And we got the man to talk about it, NBA draft writer at Basketball News, senior basketball ops analyst, and a new friend of the program, Derek Murray, kind enough to join us. Derek, thank you so much for your time, man, and welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I appreciate you having me on very much. And, yeah, it's crazy, you know, after how long the pre-draft process was last year, you know, wow. Even though this one feels a little drawn out, I mean, at least it's a little quicker than last year, but it's crazy. We're already here. It's been 3 days, and I think all the teams are kind of ready to get past it and look forward to next season.
Absolutely. So if you sum up this draft, how would you analyze this draft that's about to hit us?
So you've got some superstar talent at the top. I think the top three can all be superstar players. 4 through 7, you've kind of got a group that's forming there of really, really high-end starters and you know, championship-caliber players. The back end of the first round is going to be really strong. I think you'll have a lot of starters, high rotation guys in the 20s. So that's a good place to be this year. And then the back end of the second, honestly, it feels a little weaker than it has been in the past. You know, once you kind of get into 40, 45 and on, not much excites a lot of people right now. But I think the big question for this draft is, you know, normally, at least in the top 20, there's some semblance of an order of, hey, here are kind of the tiers of players. And honestly, I think 8 through 25 could be a crapshoot. I think these kids could go anywhere. And that tells us that there's probably going to be a ton of trades on draft day.
Derek, is Cade Cunningham the guy? Or I'm hearing some reports, maybe Jalen Green is moving up. And maybe there's some stress there between who's the top guy to get? Or am I just reading wrong?
I think the media, you know, generally speaking, dubbed Cade, you know, the man, the guaranteed number one guy, you know, so early this year that a lot of people just kind of jumped on the wagon. You know, I do think he is the favorite to go number one, but it would be foolish for people to think it's a bona fide done deal. You know, Jalen Green has an incredible amount of upside with his athleticism, youth, and playmaking. And Evan Mobley out of USC, the 7-foot freshman, he's one of the most impactful defenders we've seen in college basketball since Anthony Davis. I mean, this kid's 7 foot tall, 7'5" wingspan, runs like a deer, has touch on the inside and outside, shot blocking machine. I mean, he's the kind of kid you can build your team around moving forward. So I do think Cade will ultimately go one. It would take a really, really gutsy general manager to pass on him at one. But I think, you know, I know for a fact Detroit's at least having discussions on those top three.
So Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, and as you said, Evan Mobley. That's the top three, correct? In whatever order they go, those are the three potential superstars in this draft, correct?
Yes. And okay. Then at 4 through 7, you kind of have that next level, but those three stand alone.
Give me the 4 through 7. Give me some names in that one. I got to believe Jalen Suggs, the guard from Gonzaga, is one of them?
Yeah, Suggs, Scotty Barnes from Florida State, James Booknight from UConn, and Jonathan Kuminga, the youngster from the G League Ignite team. Those four are, you know, they had some at the beginning of the year, midway through the season, to take that they cracked the top three. I think the upside with the other three is just too great, but all of these guys project as incredible starters, you know, high floor. You know, Book Knight looks like a 20 points per game guy in the league. Barnes and Kuminga are 6'9", versatile, athletic guys. And Suggs, I mean, led his team all the way to the national championship with great leadership, defense, facilitating, shooting, the whole thing.
So we're sitting here. We're in the land of the New Orleans Pelicans. They've got a new coach in Willie Green who came over from Phoenix. They're trying to keep Zion there and not let him go via the "I'm out of here" like Chris Paul did, and how Anthony Davis did as well. So the question is, at number 10, they need shooters, Derek. They need shooters badly. So I'm thinking, give me some names that you think would be available at number 10 that would fit. They need a shooter and need somebody that can play a little bit of defense. Not a whole lot, but just a little bit of defense. What would you recommend if I'm paying you $100,000 a month to be my analyst and to help me? What would you recommend there?
I think there are three guys that come into mind at that 10 spot. And I'll preface by saying I do not think the Pelicans will be picking at 10. There are a lot of rumors out there that they're trying to move the pick. Those are real. They're shopping the pick actively. But they're going to have to get a good offer. You know, top 10 pick, there are guys that people want. So New Orleans does have, a chokehold on that, saying, hey, if you want me to give it up, you know, here's what you have to give me. But let's say they do pick there. I think you're looking at Moses Moody and you're looking at Corey Kispert as guys that I think fit at number 10. You know, Kispert was a career 40% three-point shooter at Gonzaga, a highly, highly intelligent player off the ball and on the ball. Not an elite defender by any means, but he's always in the right spot. Good rotations. He's always in the right position. And he's big, physical kid, 6'7", you know, strong, well-developed, and I think is NBA ready. I think he can come in and play right now. And then the other option, I believe, is Moses Moody from Arkansas, should he be there. There are some discussions about Orlando really liking him at number 8. But should he fall, I think Moody is a guy, you know, 19 years old, 6'6", 7'1 wingspan, averaged nearly 17 points a game at Arkansas. And I think he projects very well as a 3-and-D prospect, which, as we've seen watching the playoffs and the NBA, anybody who watches, a legitimate 3-and-D guy is extremely valuable. And I think that's what he can bring to the league. So the Pelicans front office would have to decide, do we want to take a young guy and give him some time to develop, or do we want to take Kispert, who can come in and play right now?
Or do we want to trade the pick and get a proven veteran and get rid of some of these bad deals that they've got and get somebody in there that can contribute immediately and keep Zion happy? That's the thing. I keep hearing rumors and rumblings of the Golden State Warriors. They got the number 7 overall pick and the number 14 overall pick, and they set their sights and let it be known that they want Bradley Beal from the Washington Wizards. If you're the Wizards, and with this draft and the strength of this draft and knowing what you've got there, is that worth it? A 7-14 for a Bradley Beal and something else to go along with it? Would you be up to that kind of a move?
You know, you're right. Golden State, they're doing everything they can to move those two picks and bring in a star or starter of some capacity. You know, those two picks don't get it done for me with Beal. I think if I'm Washington, I want 7, I want 14, I want Wiseman, and I probably want another future first. I want a lot coming back. And at that point, if you're Washington, you can look in the mirror. Let's say you add Wiseman, and then you go into this draft with 7, 14, and 15. You know, that's a pretty good place to start if that's what you wanted to move. So I think the picks would just be probably half or a small part of that deal.
If I'm Golden State and Washington agrees to that, I would do it in a heartbeat. How much time do you have left with Steph and Clay and Draymond? Get Bradley Beal. That'd be a fun team to watch. Selfishly, that'd be a fun team. LSU has a player named Cam Thomas. What do you see in Cam? Is he a first-round pick? Does he drop to the second round? What do you think of him?
So Cam, I think he's one of the best pure bucket getters we've seen in college basketball in a while. I mean, 23 points a game, excellent finisher at the rim, crafty, gets to the free throw line, streaky as a three-point shooter, but again, that's fine for a 19-year-old freshman. I'm not super worried about that. know, he's a microwave guy. What a lot of NBA teams are concerned with him is his, you know, selfishness on the court, the lack of passing, averaged one assist a game. I saw something this morning where, you know, I think of all college basketball players the last 20 years, he was like third to last in, you know, assists per shot made. It's some kind of statistic like that. And a lot of teams just wonder, I wonder if, you know, we can kind of break that. And, you know, if that's just how he's wired, that's okay. Some teams are going to love a guy who just comes in and gets his own buckets. But I don't think, you know, I think he's probably pure talent, a lottery player. I expect him to go probably somewhere between 15 and 25, you know, 15, 25, 20, 25, somewhere in that range.
Not bad at all. There's another LSU player that I think he's an old school player. I think he's very talented. But I wonder what the scouts think of Trendon Watford.
Yeah, so Trendon, the only really drawback of his game is that a lot of NBA teams question the athleticism. You know, he does have trouble moving his feet a lot. The mobility is really not that great. And in traffic, you know, at 6'9", he's most comfortable in the post, but it's hard to be a back-to-the-basket or short face-up guy at, you know, 6'8" if you're really not that much of an athlete. So what he has going for him is he was fairly efficient this year, other than some games where he was really streaky and missed a lot of threes. 16 points a game, 7 boards, 3 assists. And, you know, he's a really smart player. On defense, he makes up for the lack of quickness by being in the right place, uses his hands, and is active with them really well. So I think his ability to stretch the floor at the next level is what can really open it up for him, because the skill set is clearly there. But if you're not going to beat a lot of people off the bounce, you've got to be able to hit your threes.
Okay, very good. One more LSU player, and I think he's a really good player. I think he's going to be – I think he's got that drive in him. I think he's going to make a club, whether it be not – it may not be initially, but I think down the road he will, because he's got size. Javonte Smart.
Yeah, so Smart is another guy that I think has a real shot of getting, you know, camp invite, a G League deal. I would expect him to play in summer league and get a really good opportunity. Again, 16 points, 4 assists, 4 boards, and shot 40% from 3. Got good positional size at 6'4" for a guard. I would love to see him out in Vegas next month, get a real opportunity to show what he's got, because, you know, LSU at times they really struggled putting a lot of shooters on the floor. So there wasn't a lot around him to, I think, show how good of a passer he actually is in just a box score type evaluation. So I actually really like Smart, and I hope he gets a shot.
Too. Derek Murray, kind enough to join us. What makes drafts so fun is if there's a lot of wheeling and dealing and teams moving up or teams trading out or, you know, deals taking place. Do you foresee this draft to be something of that nature, or is it going to be more status quo?
I do. I expect, you know, even in the lottery, I expect 7, 10, 13, and 14. I think at least 3 of those probably get moved, if not all 4. I don't know if the Thunder will keep both their picks. I know the Knicks are shopping 19 and 21. I know Houston's looking to move up from 23 and 24. Like, the first round could just be – all these mock drafts could just be null and void. I mean, within, like, 30 minutes coming up to the draft, because so many teams could be moving their picks. I think it's going to be wild, and that's kind of a widely felt thing kind of going into this week.
It just seems so strange, because now everything's about the star player and being on the clock, and few teams now have the privilege – of sitting back and developing a player 2 or 3 years down the road. The Pelicans don't have that option. They've got to get players in there who can play right here, right now. So it just amazes me. Did you have the Pelicans' first-round pick of a year ago, Kyra Lewis, ranked high? Did you think he was going to be a good, really good NBA player?
We did. We actually had Kyra mock to New Orleans on our day of the draft mock that morning. There was a lot of buzz around New Orleans, around that front office, around him. And about 2 weeks prior to that, we were actually with Kyra Lewis at some private workouts in Miami. And again, he's so young. He's going to take a while, but I still believe that was the right pick for them. He is going to be very, very good. He's just going to have to get an opportunity where he can get the ball in his hands and get into his rhythm and really have that opportunity. But I liked it last year. We predicted it yeah, we feel really good about it. New Orleans, even though we didn't get much out of them, I still love that pick.
I'm just curious, what was your evaluation of Lonzo Ball coming out of UCLA?
The shooting was a question mark for me and a lot of others. You know, I think he probably shot better at UCLA than we anticipated, but I still, just the mechanics coming out into the draft were just a little bit funky for me, and I didn't really buy the shot as a long-term guy. You know, still comfortably had him in that, you know, top five, six, seven, but I think he went maybe a little bit higher than he probably should have there. Again, I think part of that is the Lakers may have bought into the hype at that time. There was a lot of hype around him at that pick. I think that probably made me hesitate as well. So I understand why he went that high, but I think there were just a couple more question marks than people maybe wanted to talk about.
And then what makes it all fun is you never know. The answers aren't always as clear as they seem. And Donovan Mitchell for the Utah Jazz was a number 13 overall pick. Bam Adebayo of the Miami Heat was number 14 overall. And some guy that just won an NBA title was number 15 overall, Giannis Antetokounmpo. So you never know, right? And that's what makes it so interesting. Some of these players just develop later and they get into the NBA game and their game flourishes. It seems like the college game is so restricted and the NBA game is so free-flowing. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think a lot of it, you know, people don't like to admit that, you know, if they predict a guy to go too high or too low, wrong. But what's so important is where kids end up as far as an organization, you know, that development team. What kind of situation are they put in? I mean, some organizations, you just get drafted there, and it's like their careers just sputter. You know, guys go to teams who may be a little bit less talented, but they invest and they know how to develop young guys. And it's not even so much that some, you know, analysts or even executives or coaches get it right or wrong. It's all situational. And I think that's what really kills me is when you see really talented guys come into organizations, manage the kids poorly. And then it's almost, you know, I don't even want to blame the kids for maybe not hitting their ceiling or potential. But Giannis is one of the guys, and so is Donovan Mitchell, where the organization did everything the right way right off the bat, and it allowed them to become the best versions of themselves.
Yeah, Derek, I can't think enough. You're outstanding, man. You do tremendous work. I want to tell everybody you can follow him at D Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y-N-B-A. You can go follow him at Basketball News. Outstanding job. I know this is your bread and butter, and I can't thank you enough for your input. Three superstars, but there's some diamonds in the rough out there a little later on in the draft. So, and we'll see. I agree with you. I don't think the Pelicans are going to hold on to number 10. They just don't have the time to develop anybody. They got to get some players in immediately. So, Derek, thank you so much, man. Get some rest, if at all possible, the next couple of days.
Yes, sir, I will. It's going to be a long one on Wednesday and Thursday, so might try to sleep in the next two. But yeah, well, I appreciate you having me very much. Thank you.
We may be calling you on draft day. See if you can line us up a time slot on draft day, if at all humanly possible, and we'll get your final mock draft. How about that?
Hey, that sounds good. You text me. I'll make it happen, whatever you guys need.
You got it, my man. Thank you so much. All right, we'll take a quick time out here. We'll come back. We will close out our number one. The Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. We're simulcast Stadium 32.3, 133 LUS.
All the best guests join the Jordy Holtberg Show. If you missed an interview, you can check it out on demand at 103.7thegame.com.
Really enjoyed conversation with Derek Murray about the NBA draft. So we look forward to that on Thursday. 103.7 The Game is giving away a $100 Google Play card that can be used in the Google Play Store to buy apps, games, music, movies, books, and more. You can only win this $100 Google Play card by becoming a member of the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse at 103.7thegame.com. So go sign up today so you can have a chance of winning a $100 Google Play card. We'll talk about possible the division of the SEC. How is that going to work with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma? And I think that's going to be in the year 2022. So we'll go over that. We'll talk with Madeline Adams of KLFY Sports about the Sun Belt Conference Media Days. And the Saints training camp is about to open. Ross Jackson will join us, and we'll talk all about that. We're brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. You really can shop right at ShopRite. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, simulcast Stadium 133, and 32.3, excuse me, Stadium 32.3, and 133 LUS. Hour number one's in the books. Hour number two, straight ahead. We'll be right back.
Live and local, this is Acadiana's sports station, 103.7 The Game.
The Houston Astros are world champions.
Streaming live on 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
It is a safe touchdown.
This is the Jordy Holtberg Show.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day.
Call us up at 337-706-0111.
I like this kind of party.
Now, here's your host, Jordy Holtberg.
It's hour two of two, and away we go. It's a Monday, July 26th edition of the Jordy Holtberg Show. We're here to you from 2 to 4 p.m. each and every day on 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com. And we've got breaking news. DraftKings is live in Louisiana now with daily fantasy sports. DraftKings has finished dotting their I's, crossing their T's, meaning you can begin playing right now. Get a free entry into DraftKings Daily Fantasy Contest with your first deposit of $5 or more and get a free shot at winning thousands of dollars. Now, making the draft lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night, and it's really simple to do. Draft your lineup, feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Each player has a salary associated with drafting them. Assemble a lineup of players while staying under the salary cap, and then sit back and watch your points pile up. Compete for the gold with DraftKings this week. The athletes have made their way to Tokyo to fight for their spot on the podium. Head to the app now for your free shot at thousands in prizes. So here's your call to action. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use code 1037GAME when you sign up. For a limited time, all new players can have a free shot at winning thousands of dollars with their first deposit. There's never been a better time to get in on all the action with DraftKings and a free shot at winning thousands of dollars. Don't forget, enter code 1037GAME, 1037GAME, only on the DraftKings app. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Yes, indeed. So, we talked all about Texas, Oklahoma. NFL camps are underway. The Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow, our guy, is cleared fully for football activities. However, don't expect the team to rush its franchise quarterback back into action as he continues recovering from that devastating knee injury. During the team's annual media luncheon today, Bengals owner and president Mike Brown said the team will likely withhold Burrow from the team's three preseason games. Quote, "We probably aren't going to put him out there until we get to the season because we don't want to risk anything with him. But his effort rehabbing was A+. Yeah, you don't need him. You need him in the regular season. In his rookie year, before the injury, Burrow made 10 starts, completed 65% of his passes for nearly 2,700 yards, 13 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. He is going to be sensational. Sensational. There is no doubt about it at all. So, coming up in this hour, Madeline Adams, KLFY Sports, will talk about the Sun Belt Conference Media Days, and then the big target is on the Cajuns' back. No question about it. You work hard to get there. Now, can you stay there? And that's going to be a critical part. Russ Jackson will join us to talk about the New Orleans Saints. Their training camp gets underway this week. The vets, the rookies, and Injured players reported Sunday. The vets report tomorrow, and it's off we go. 40 days away, by the way, from the start of the college football season for LSU and the Raging Cajuns. And isn't it ironic that the Raging Cajuns would open the season against the Longhorns of Texas? And isn't it ironic that the LSU Tigers will open up against UCLA of the Pac-12? Because I think the only hope for the Big 12, which is now going to be the Big 8, never understood. They had 10 teams. They called themselves the Big 12. I know they couldn't call themselves the Big 10 because those boys at Ohio State and Michigan did that one. Come up with something else. But anyway, I think the only chance, because the Big 12 as we know it will not survive. There is no way. And they can't possibly add any schools that bring them the cachet, that brings them the television market, for them to be able to renegotiate a television deal that's going to make them more money. And without the television deal, there is no deal. There is no deal. So if I'm the Big 12, I am nervous as all heck, and I'm calling the Pac-12, can we come and hop on your board and let's go? Let's go. But does the Pac-12 want Kansas State? Do they want Oklahoma State? Really? Does that fit with all that techno stuff that they have out there? You know, UCLA and USC and Stanford and Oregon. Does that fit? No, it just doesn't. So I don't know what they're going to do. I have no idea. It's way above my pay grade. But if I'm the Big 12, I'm like, holy Toledo. You know, it happened with the Southland Conference. A bunch of schools said, you know, we want to move on. So we're going to the WAC. And so they're going to be playing in Hawaii, all over the place. Their travel expenses are going to go through the roof. And the Southland Conference is basically now all schools in Louisiana and a couple here and there. What are they going to do? It's just it's a way of the world. And it will be fascinating to see how this all plays out. But, you know, Texas and Oklahoma, they do bring a lot to the table. Texas, really good baseball school, right? Really good. Good basketball school. Oklahoma doesn't have the cachet of a Texas. And look, everybody talks about, well, you know, last time Oklahoma played, LSU beat the heck out of them. That's true. LSU had to hold on by the skin of their teeth to beat Texas and Austin. These schools, yes, it's all about money. Of course, it's always about the money. But these schools believe that they can compete. And with the playoff being expanded to the 12 number instead of 4, now their strength of schedule goes through the roof, and there's going to be more SEC teams in there. And with the dwindling of the – is any team from the Big 12 going to make it into the college football playoff? Really? I mean, come on. So it just increases Texas and Oklahoma's chances for getting in there. But they believe, and their fan bases believe, they can compete and they can win. But of course, always, it's always about the dollars and cents. Everything. We have a saying here, and we've said it since day one. When in doubt, follow the money. That will always lead you to the answer. Always follow the money. USA basketball loses to France in the Olympics. Look, they had many, many opportunities to win that game and to win going away, and they couldn't knock down shots when it counted. And give France a lot of credit. They played well. They played hard. And now there are grumblings amongst the ranks of Team USA that they don't like Greg Popovich and the way he's doing things and this, that, and the other. Oh, by the way, did you see what Luka did in his Olympic debut? The all-time scoring record in Olympic basketball history is by a Brazilian, and boy, could he shoot. Oscar Schmidt. The second highest point total was 48. And how about this for 63 degrees of separation? His nickname was Outback Eddie. You know where he played his college basketball? LSU, one of the all-time great free throw shooters, Eddie Palyabinskas, scored 48 for the Australians way back in the day, Luka dropped 48 in his Olympic debut. 48. He is so good. He is so good. But I'm just here to tell you, Team USA needs a guy like Magic Johnson. They lose to France 83-76. Good players, but they're all one-on-one players. They're all stationary, screen, pick and roll, pick and pop kind of players. They got nobody driving the ball to the basket and letting you freelance and finding open guys. These guys, Durant, Damian Lillard, they're all great players, no doubt, but they haven't played together. Devin Booker just arrived the day before they played France, and he's out there playing. And they got some players on that team that no longer deserve there than to be there than a man in the moon. I mean, it's ridiculous. But they just don't play well together. And Greg Popovich has said it's more about concepts than drawing up plays. Well, you better do something, Pop, because you ain't worth a darn as a coach of these Olympic teams. And USA should feel embarrassed after their loss to France. There's no way that should happen. I'm sorry. Evan Fournier? Okay. Wow. Wow. Rudy Gobert? Okay. No way. No way. And they had shots at the end, but they gave up a 7, 8, 9 point lead in the blink of an eye and lost the game down the stretch. Shouldn't happen. They need a LeBron James on that team who makes everybody around them better. Durant doesn't do that. Dame Lillard doesn't do that. As great as they are, as prolific as scorers as they are, they don't make players around them better. They just don't. And this team, they're going to win. They're going to win their next games, and they're going to get out of this knockout round because they play a bunch of teams that aren't that good. But it's the first Olympic men's basketball loss since 2004. And they're just the invincibility in men's basketball is long gone. And Team USA is going to have to do a better job. And I'm curious to see. As Greg Popovich said, there's nothing to be surprised about before he launched into his go-to statement after losses. When you lose a game, you're not surprised. You're disappointed, but I don't use the word surprise. Well, Greg, I'm not surprised either. I'm shocked. Should never, ever happen. Shouldn't happen. You got Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Damian Lillard, Bam Adebayo, Drew Holiday, and others. Draymond Green. Shouldn't happen. But it did. Now we'll see. They have to win their final two pool play games against Iran and the Czech Republic to advance to the medal round. We'll see. We'll see. All right, we'll take a quick time out here. That segment of the show, always brought to you by the great folks at Cajun Chef. The Biard family for nearly 9 decades right there in St. Martinville, putting out tremendous products. I highly recommend you trying their Cajun Chef hot sauce. Do yourself a favor. Try it. You're going to love it. Everything tastes better with Cajun Chef hot sauce on it. Mondays with Madeline Adams, KLFY, next.
As someone who grew up in New Orleans, there aren't many people that love the Saints quite like Jordy Holtberg. Now let's get back to an original member of Who Dat Nation on 103.7 The Game.
And we are back at 19 minutes after the hour. You know, with 20 of 22 starters returning from a team that went 10-1 a year ago, Raging Cajun's football program has a chance to do something special in 2021. Camp begins August the 5th, and Billy Napier says he's going to open that camp with a one-phase-at-a-time mentality. Let's talk all about the Cajuns and their Sunbelt Media Days last Thursday with our good friend. It wouldn't be a Monday without Madeline. Madeline Adams, sports anchor, sports reporter extraordinaire for KLFY Sports. And it's great to have you again. How are you, dear?
I'm doing great. Jordy, how are you doing on this Monday?
I'm doing good. Much better now. So what were your thoughts about the Cajuns and how they handled themselves in New Orleans on that Thursday of a few days ago?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the biggest thing that you kind of take away from what we saw last year and just talking about it some about Media Day was how much experience that this team is bringing back. You know, you mentioned practically 20 out of the 22 starters returning. You lose guys like Elijah Mitchell, Trey Regis, but you still have Chris Smith, right, who is an All-American. Yeah. And so, you know, they have a lot of depth as well, guys who are able to kind of get experience like T.J. Wisham and Monty Bailey in the running back room. And so I just think overall, I mean, this team is so experienced. They've been playing with each other for a couple of years, obviously, and this is Coach Napier entering his fourth year. So they just have so much experience under their belt. And you look at what they were able to do last year with you know, practically the same team, you know, the first national ranking in the modern era. You know, they were Sun Belt co-champions, you know, even though they didn't get to play that game. They had a bowl victory, and they finished in the top 20. They were 19 at the end of the season in the college football playoff poll. The best season in program history. And so I think when you bring all of that experience back, obviously the goal this year is to win an outright conference championship and just kind of expound on the success they had last year. And I think they have the talent to do so.
They've learned the main thing to me. They know what it takes to win. And with all those starters coming back, and I think if you have to replace starters, the easiest place to replace them is at running back. Nothing against the losses of Regis and Mitchell, but you can find running backs. It's hard to find a quarterback. It's hard to find really good offensive and defensive linemen and cornerbacks that are ready to play. So I think that's right in their wheelhouse. And Max Mitchell, the offensive lineman, said it best. He acknowledged it's hard to dodge all the hype. He says it's everywhere. Your friends, your family, they all talk about it. So what is the maturity level of this team when it comes to that? How do they handle that? That's pretty important, I would think.
Absolutely. And you know, the hype grows each year, but it's really impressive to see how this team is handling it. I mean, because all the national hype, not incredibly new to them last year, but just obviously with the national rankings and just that was kind of new, obviously. And so the hype, like I said, kind of keeps building every year. And just talking to players, obviously we asked them about that. And what stood out the most is both Zion and Max kind of said, hey, we have higher expectations than everybody outside of the program even does for us. And so I think, you know, Max mentioned the experience and he's like, hey, we know what it takes to win. You know, we know what we're supposed to do. We're going to be holding each other to a higher standard this year than even last year. And I think that comes from the experience. That comes from, you know, having guys who have been in the program for, you know, 3 and 4 years leading this team. And so I think just the maturity level of them saying, hey, we know the hype outside of this building, outside of this program is really, you know, there's a lot of it. There's a very high expectations, but nobody outside this building is kind of matching our expectations. They have the highest expectations for themselves. And so I think that's where that maturity comes in of being around the program. And knowing what you expect from each other.
I'm curious, Madeline Adams, KLFY. You know, last year started off with that that great win on the road at Iowa State that catapulted the Cajuns into a spectacular season. They start off this year with Texas. I'm kind of curious as to how Texas is going to handle all this. I know they got a new coach in Sarkisian, but so much of the talk about Texas is going to be them leaving the Big 12 and coming into the SEC. When are they going to come into the SEC? What are they going to bring with them? It just seems like to me, with all those distractions around that program, it might be just the perfect time to play them. Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and we kind of talked to players about that too, because obviously last year beating Iowa State on the road to start kind of, you know, put the Cajuns on the map and kind of, you know, alerted the rest of the nation that the Cajuns are a talented team who can go and do that on the road. And so I think Texas will kind of have that in the back of their mind, what happened to Iowa State last year. But I still believe that, I mean, I've been saying the Texas, especially this year, is not the Texas it used to be, right? You know, and it's not kind of, Texas is kind of lost. Texas is not back. And so I think that the experience of this Cajuns team, and I think, you know, obviously you have a fourth-year head coach, like you said, Sarkisian is in his first year and entering his first year. I just think that the experience, comparing the experience between the Cajuns and the Longhorns, I really think this is going to be, you know, another statement game for the Raging Cajuns. And, you know, I think that maturity is going to come out, especially in the first game of the year. You're going to lean on that maturity, lean on that experience. And I believe the Cajuns are going to make another statement. And, you know, the nation shouldn't be surprised this time when it happens.
College football is one of those weird things. It's not like basketball. It's not like baseball. Basketball, you can lose games all the time. Baseball, you can lose games all the time, and it doesn't affect you. Football, you lose one game, man, it's like the air's out of the balloon. You know, I wonder, I know you're very confident about the Cajuns, and I think they can go in there and do it as well, but I wonder how the fan base, with all these expectations, I know the goal is to win the conference. But I promise you, with that 16th ranking and getting to play a team with more cachet than Iowa State in Texas, I wonder what this fan base would, how they would react if, in fact, it didn't happen.
Yeah, well, you know, I think, like you mentioned, Texas is going to always have that kind of, you know, the brand to them, right? And you know, like you mentioned, you just kind of never know. This is exactly at the start of the season, too. You just never know what Texas is going to bring. Right. And so I think, you know, like I said, it shouldn't be a shock to the nation if the Cajuns win this game. I really think it's going to be a great game. I'm not saying that the Cajuns are going to, you know, win by three touchdowns. I do think it's going to be a great game. But, you know, I think the fan base ultimately understands the, you know, the weight that even just the Texas program kind of holds. And when it comes to recruiting and, you know, just kind of, you know, rebuilding and reloading whatever Texas does, you know, I think that this game is going to be a great game no matter what. And I think even if, you know, even if the Cajuns happen to lose, if they keep it close, that still can be a statement game playing Texas.
Yeah, I'm with you. Madeline Adams, KLFY, I am with you completely. I like the fact, back to Max Mitchell, at the media day, he said, with everybody coming back, we are motivated to run the table this year. I love it when you're one of your leaders, the guy that you bring to the media day to represent your school, he's not afraid to put it out there. I love that.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the confidence that they have in what they're building. You know, like I said, they know what they were able to do with so many of these starters last year, and then having all of that experience and those starters returning, you know, that's a lot of confidence. And like you mentioned earlier, it's hard to replace guys like Elijah Mitchell and Trey Regis. But, you know, it kind of seems like the UL running back room has kind of, especially recently, always just kind of reloaded. They never had to, like, rebuild. When you think about you losing a guy like Elijah McGuire, Raymond Colley stepped up. And then when Raymond Colley left, you know, Trey Regis, Eli Mitchell were still there to, you know, and then Chris Smith kind of stepped up when Raymond left. And so I think others will follow suit this year. And so if that's, you know, if that's kind of the one thing that, you know, people were like, oh, you know, we lost those guys, I really think they're going to continue to reload in that running back room and, you know, still be able to lean on that this year, obviously. And so, you know, like I said, there are such high expectations, but nobody has higher expectations than the team itself. And they are confident with, you know, bringing the experience back, all of those starters. You know, I think they do have the potential to run the table. And you know, if any year you're going to do so, it's going to be this year where you can have guys like Levi Lewis come back for another year and you know, just have that veteran experience and talent at your disposal.
Yeah, much like the SEC, the commissioner, Keith Gill, said that if your team's not ready to play, the games won't be rescheduled, and that team that caused the cancellation must forfeit it. Last year, they, you know, they rescheduled games and declared games that weren't played no contest. So did they ask the Raging Cajuns how many players or what percentage of their players have been vaccinated? Anybody go down that road?
You know, I'm not sure if I heard that question asked or heard a number to answer that question. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of conferences coming out with that same rule. And, you know, I think that's going to also add an interesting kind of angle or aspect to this season. You know, last year, you know, you could reschedule the game or, but this year, obviously, like you said, that's not going to be an option. So that's going to be another interesting thing to watch this upcoming season for sure.
All right. So we're about 40 days away. The eyes of Texas are upon us. Man, I'm looking for what a doubleheader, right? I mean, the Cajuns and the Longhorns, the Tigers and the Bruins. Golly, did we? Are you for Texas and Oklahoma coming to the beloved SEC?
You know, yeah, I mean, it's kind of creating a super conference, you know, when you think it's like if we add Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC, I don't imagine any other conference being able to keep up with the Southeastern Conference, you know, because you just have kind of like the teams like Clemson, you know, in the ACC or Ohio State in the Big Ten, but you don't have like that one conference like, you know, if Texas and Oklahoma comes to the SEC, that's going to just be consistently you know, just putting teams in every kind of championship, because not only football, you think of bringing Oklahoma gymnastics to the SEC, you think of bringing Texas baseball to the SEC. So, you know, I'm just kind of thinking of, you know, if the SEC wants to bring any two teams from the Big 12, I mean, those are the two to do it. And so I just, you know, I like the move. I'm interested to see what it kind of does to the entire landscape of college football. I don't know what will happen to the Big 12 after that. So I'm excited to see how it all pans out.
All right, Madeline Adams, Sports KLFY, getting it done. Always fun on a Monday. Thank you so much. Have a great week, and we always look forward to Mondays with you.
Thank you so much, Jordy, for having me on. Always fun talking with you. Have a great week.
All right. There you go. You take care, Madeline Adams. We'll take a time out here on the Jordy Hultberg Show. When we come back, we'll talk about the Hoodats, the New Orleans Saints training camp opening up this week. Ross Jackson here. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, simulcast stadium 32.3, 133 LUS.
The Blonde Bomber once scored more points than future Hall of Famer Magic Johnson during an NCAA tournament game. Talk about showtime. Now, back to the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana's sports station.
The place to be is at 5800 Airline Drive in Metairie. In the searing heat, the Saints will begin their first training camp without Drew Brees since 2005, and settling on his replacement is only where the fun begins. So I said, we got to talk to my man. If you follow Saints football, you got to follow our next guest. He is at Ross Jackson NOLA, N-O-L-A. Ross Jackson, Locked On Network. He's with Canal Street Chronicles. He just does too much for me to talk about, but we're thrilled to have him back. Ross, summertime's over, baby. It's time to go to work, man. How are you?
Oh, we're finally here. You're starting to get the football news, starting to get training camp news. Everything's really finally coming up, and so it's one of the most exciting times of the year. So I'm doing excellent, my friend, and it's great to be back here with you. Hope you've been doing well.
I'm doing well. It's great to have you as well. All right, so we know about the quarterback situation. That's front row, center stage, obviously. Need some cornerbacks. Brian Poole, do you like that deal?
I do. It's an interesting signing because, of course, everyone can look at the Saints roster and say, oh, they really are in need of an outside corner. But adding Brian Poole, who's a little bit more of a career slot cornerback, could maybe bring up some questions. But basically, the way that I look at this is that if the New Orleans Saints aren't able to achieve a signing or even potentially a trade, some type of an offseason addition to get an outside corner, then they could put Patrick Robinson out there just like they did in a few games last season where he performed well. And if they do that, then you lose a piece of depth at your slot cornerback position, your nickel corner behind C.J. Gardner-Johnson is Patrick Robinson. So if you move him outside, it gives you an opportunity here with the signing of Brian Poole to have an immediate backup in case you need to replace C.J. Gardner-Johnson, in case C.J. Gardner-Johnson needs some time out, anything like that. then you have somebody that you can bring in without having to then move Patrick Robinson back to the slot and then put a fourth or even fifth string cornerback over on the outside behind him. It helps a ton. And especially if you're not going to have Marshon Lattimore to start the season, which we don't know for sure yet, but there's definitely the opportunity for that to happen, then it ends up bolstering that even further to have that additional slot cornerback to be the backup behind C.J. Gardner-Johnson so that you don't end up having to shuffle the secondary around in case of an injury.
I feel like I'm that Dutch boy, you know, that has the hair down to his eyebrows, and he's got this finger and this hole in the dam and this finger and this hole in the dam. He's got his thumb over here and every finger. The leaks on this team, I'm really, really nervous about it. We've had problems on the defensive line. We've had problems in the secondary keeping players. We got a problem at wide receiver. So you take me. What are the Saints going to do at those three critical positions?
Well, I think that you have right now seen them at least spend some time bringing in cornerbacks. You saw the visit earlier this offseason with Dre Kirkpatrick, which didn't amount to an immediate signing. But if nothing else, it does at least give them the opportunity to have, you know, someone in the book in case they should need to go to somebody at a later time and in case they're looking for anybody at a later time. We also know that the Saints had hosted a few wide receivers today. The one name that we did get was a former Patriots wide receiver who was just playing in the Lacrosse Premier League, actually Chris Hogan. But it was multiple wide receivers that they reportedly worked out today. And so they're spending their time doing the research, doing the thing that they usually will do to make sure that they have names and, you know, have somebody on the books in case they need to turn to free agency to add anybody. I think the wide receiver position is a clear place where you might see that happen before the season begins. We've also seen them just end up signing another defensive end / offensive lineman as well. Donerson, who was a 2018 draft pick and was most recently with the Bengals practice squad. And so I think, you know, they'll continue to do their homework. They'll continue to bring players in and get a look at these players that they can, potentially bring in from the open market. But they're not going to rush into any decisions, which is pretty common for what we've seen from the New Orleans Saints over time.
Okay. I'm kind of curious. We all know that DeMario Davis is an outstanding player, all pro. He was terrific. Who's going to be the guy next to him? They've had Alex Anzalone. They've had Quan Alexander. Neither one is with the team now, although we keep hearing about Quan Alexander. I don't know. Anzalone's in Detroit. Alexander's still a free agent. Zach Bond is out there, the rookie last season. Who fills in that all-important role in your book?
Yeah, I think, I mean, if I was going to put money on it today, I would take a look at Pete Werner, the second-round linebacker that they drafted in this year's draft. He's coming in as a rookie out of Ohio State. He seems to be the most pro-ready player out of this draft class, if I'm being honest. And I think that he's the one that has the most immediate translation. There's still some things that he'll have to learn, but he did play the Will linebacker spot at Ohio State with the Buckeyes. And certainly there are some things that are going to be different in terms of his responsibilities and language and things like that. But he's a smart player, and he's the type of player exactly that you would look for to be able to come in and be, you know, good at a lot of different things. He might not necessarily be a playmaker for you and all, but he's not somebody that's going to cost you games. And in fact, he can be somebody that can help you win them. So I look at him as being a clear option at the moment, but he's going to get a lot of competition over the course of camp, not only from, you know, the Zach Bond, who they're, you know, in the process of moving over to a linebacker, even though he was an edge rusher in college at Wisconsin, but they're also going to be, you know, guys like Chase Hansen and Cade Nellis and some other guys that are already on the roster that are going to be vying. And again, it wouldn't surprise me to see continued looks at players that are coming in from the open market as well.
If Quan Alexander is healthy, is he going to be too costly for the Saints?
I don't think so. I mean, he's coming off of several season-ending injuries over the course of his career. It's a season in which the salary cap has shrunk. I think that there's just a lot of concessions that have to be made in terms of the way that players kind of approach contracts during this offseason, and he's still available here as we speak, you know, at the end of July, which generally doesn't bode well for guys that are looking for, you know, long-term deals or big deals. And so I think that, you know, he might have an asking price, but if he come down, and I think the Saints could go that direction if they feel like the young guys, particularly Zach Bond and Pete Werner, aren't going to pan out, or if they have an injury at the position. But I don't think that they're going to rush into a signing with Quan Alexander. Now, of course, I say that tomorrow because it's just my luck. But I don't think that they would have much interest right off the bat to sign him and make him their immediate starter when they've invested highly with young guys on the roster.
Ross Jackson with us, Locked On Saints, Canal Street Chronicles, everything dealing with the Saints. He's must-read material, must-follow material. I'm just curious, just take a stab in the dark. When the Saints line up, and it looks like, according to reports, that Aaron Rodgers is going to come back and play for the Packers, who's going to be the wide receivers that trot out and take the first snap for the Saints? Because I have no clue.
It's an interesting one, right? Because you know, whoever gets the first snap may not necessarily be the guy that's actually the starter for the New Orleans Saints. So I think it depends upon the field situation, where they are, yards to go, that type of a situation. I mean, obviously they'll come out at a first and 10 position, but if somehow they get a takeaway and they're already in the red zone, then maybe you could see Taysom Hill still reprise his role as a red zone threat under or behind the center. But if it's, an opening kickoff and they're starting from the 20, 25, then all of a sudden Jameis Winston potentially makes the most sense at this time. But we'll see. I mean, it's going to be a legitimate quarterback battle throughout the course of training camp, and certainly they'll be in no rush to make that decision. They'll want to make sure that they make the right decision based upon what's going to be best for this team. But considering that they are going to be without Michael Thomas to start the beginning of the season, and they're dealing with injuries over the defensive side, you're going to want to go with as much firepower as you have. So does that mean you want the deep passing game from Jameis Winston, or do you want the dual threat quarterbacking from Taysom Hill? These are the questions that the Saints will have to answer throughout training camp.
Who do you think this, when one player goes down, it's provides an opportunity for a player to emerge and become something that no one thought he was. Is there somebody on this team that could be like that to replace a Michael Thomas?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at that wide receiver position specifically, I think Tre'Quan Smith ran his route tree very well, and he served the role very well in terms of being an ex-receiver and running the system. Obviously he didn't have a 149 catcher. He was not going to be on pace for a 149 catch season in his stead last season while Michael Thomas was missing games between weeks 2 through 8 and then again at the end of the season. But I think that this gives Tre'Quan Smith even more opportunity to really operate on the outside, which is what he did the final season that he played at UCF, which is what turned him into a third round draft pick, where he was averaging 19.8 yards per catch. And then all of a sudden he got to the NFL and they needed him to learn how to play in the slot. And that's mostly where he's been over the course of the last few seasons. But if you look at his three best seasons in terms of what he's done in terms of receiving yardage, the games where he has the most receiving yardage so far in his NFL career are games where he spent more than 60% of his snaps on the outside as opposed to in the slot. So I think that him getting more opportunities on the outside will definitely be a value to him. And I would say the same thing for Marquez Callaway, the undrafted free agent last year, who showed some impressive flashes throughout the 2020 season. Him getting more opportunities in camp here at the outside receiver spots, I think, will benefit him as well.
Nobody talks about this. Everybody talks about the quarterback position. That's going to be a big battle. But there's another battle out there looming that hasn't had to take place for a long, long time. We got a punter competition going
That's
on
right.
in Saints camp, don't we? How about that?
We do. We absolutely do. And I think that you've got two really good candidates here. For all intents and purposes, I would imagine that Blake Gillikin will be the guy. You're talking about somebody that had several 70-plus yard punts, several 60-yard punts, and nailed a lot of those longer punts even within the 20s. I mean, within 20 yards. I believe it was 52% of his career punts inside the 20 over the course of his career at Penn State. So he's an extremely talented punter. He looked really good in camp last year. Well, now that the team and Thomas Morstead have gone separate ways, and, somebody that I think will absolutely be in the Ring of Honor at some point within the next few years. Yeah. I think that, Blake Gillikin is the guy that's next in line, considering he's had time with the team. But Nolan Cooney, the undrafted free agent punter out of Syracuse, he only punted for one season, but did so 74 times because of how poor that Syracuse offense was last year, and did so extremely well with a net average over 44 yards. And so this is really, really going to be an outstanding battle to watch. And, I think Blake Gillikin is the clear front runner at this time, but Nolan Cooney is definitely going to help him push to prove it.
Ross Jackson, I'll get on this one. Give me an under-the-radar player that you're really looking forward to watching to see how he develops. Everybody knows the stars on this team, but somebody under the radar that you think has a good shot not only at making this club, the 53-man roster, but being a solid contributor as well.
Yeah, I'm going to look at the defensive interior because there's going to be a lot of opportunity there, and a lot of players are going to be getting their fair share of looks, because not only are you looking for somebody to operate next to David Onyemata, you're going to be looking for somebody to operate in place of David Onyemata for the first six games of the season. And so I'm going to go with Washington undrafted free agent Josiah Bronson, who is somebody that is built like a defensive tackle but has the athleticism of a defensive end, something that New Orleans teams absolutely love in terms of having that type of versatility. And he's somebody that is, essentially accustomed, very much accustomed to running in a rotation, because they did the same thing in Washington. But I think his familiarity with the principles of the scheme, as well as his ability to be versatile and flexible along the defensive line, will really help him. And I would keep an eye on Caden Ellis. The New Orleans Saints right now have about 370 special team snaps that they need to replace from Craig Robertson, who was a special teams captain for them, and he's no longer on the team at the linebacker position. So if you're looking at somebody that could potentially earn a large role within the New Orleans Saints based upon special teams, particularly as an up back and punt coverage, Caden Ellis has the motor, he has the experience, and he has the knowledge of the team and organization to be able to do that.
Ross Jackson, you're so darn good, man. Thank you. Thank you for your expertise. Thank you for your time. We greatly appreciate it. And our listeners love you, man. So thank you.
I really appreciate that. It's always a pleasure to be here with you. And a big shout out to everybody tuning in and to everybody over at the studio. I hope y'all stay safe. And thanks again for having me. I look forward to talking to you soon, buddy.
I guarantee you will. Thank you, sir, very much. Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints. Today is the day that you join the 1037 The Game Clubhouse at 1037thegame.com. It's free to join. You won't be spammed. You'll get the opportunity to enter win great stuff. How about a $50 gift certificate to the Half Shell Oyster House? Man, I could go for some char-grilled oysters right now. You can only win by joining the 1037 The Game Clubhouse at 1037thegame.com. A Woj bomb will tell you what it is when we return. The Jordy Helfrich Show, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Simulcast Stadium 32.3, 133 LUS.
Time to open up the vault for the 1037 The Game's This Day in Sports History. July 26, 1979. New York Yankees pitcher and reigning Cy Young Award winner Ron Guidry holds the California Angels to three hits in a 2-0 win at Yankee Stadium. It was one of 170 games the raging Cajun star wins in his career. That was This Day in Sports History. We now return to 1037 The Game, Acadiana's sports station, simulcast on Stadium 32.3.
All right, we're back with some breaking news on the NBA front. Adrian Wojnarowski of their senior NBA insider says that Memphis is finalizing a trade with the New Orleans Pelicans. Memphis will send Jonas Valanciunas, a big 7-foot-2, 65-pound center, and 2021 number 17 and 51 to New Orleans for Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, 2021 picks number 10 and 40, and a projected first-round pick via the Lakers. Okay. Valanciunas, last season for the Memphis Grizzlies, in 28 minutes of playing time, got you 17 points, 12.5 rebounds. He, unlike Steven Adams, can shoot from downtown. Pelicans, take the deal. Perfect. You get rid of the contracts of Adams and Bledsoe. You don't have the time to develop a player at number 10. You get a proven commodity here, and I still think the Pels aren't even close to being finished. Valanciunas gives you a big that can rebound, that can defend, that can also stretch the floor. You can take him and put him at the three-point line, and he can shoot it. He's 29 years old, 7'2", 65. He's from Lithuania. He was originally drafted by the Toronto Raptors with the 5th overall pick in the 2011 NBA draft. He was terrific for them. At the 2019 trade deadline, he was traded to the Grizzlies. Anything is better than what they've had before. Anything. I love Steven Adams, but he's no offensive threat, and all he does is clog up the paint for Zion. So ship him out. Valanciunas can take you outside. He can shoot from the three. He can defend. He can run the floor. I like the deal. Bledsoe gets to play next to Ja Morant. That's fine. The Pels aren't even close, in my opinion, to being finished with this thing. But, again, Valanciunas, two picks in this year's draft, number 17 overall, number 51 overall. The Pels will give the Memphis Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, their 10th pick in this year's draft, their 40th pick in this year's draft, and a projected 2022 first-round pick via the Lakers. The Lakers are going to be good, so that draft pick's going to be down the road. Down the road. It's just beginning for the Pels. So special thanks to all of our guests, Derek Murray, talking NBA draft, Madeline Adams, all thing Raging Cajuns and Acadiana, Ross Jackson with the Saints. James, thank you for all you do. We greatly appreciate that. Come on back tomorrow. Bob Rose, more on the Saints, more on the Longhorns and the Sooners, more on the NBA draft, more on the Olympics. Love the Olympics. So come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4. Same great stations, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, simulcast stadium 32.3, 133 LUS. Thanks to all of you for listening and watching. Thanks to all of our partners that make it possible each and every day. Until tomorrow, God willing, I'm Jordy Helfrich. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay healthy, my friends. And by all means, try and stay happy, my friends. We'll see you and talk to you tomorrow.